How do you follow that? You know? Just imagine what it's like in heaven, worshiping the Lord all the time with the angels, with all the saints. Amazing. I need to collect myself.
Jenny, the Spirit of the Lord that arrived here yesterday, His presence just stayed here. And it just expounded here this morning.
Yes.
That's what we're feeling.
Yeah. Well, Fred's brother Gary bought me a top for Christmas, and I didn't know anything about it until after Fred went to heaven. And I found this bag, and I thought, what in the world is this? Was this for Fred, or was it for me? And I had no idea that it was from Gary. And so then Gary said to me, no, I got that for you. So it says, in the waiting, in the searching, and the healing, and the hurting, there was Jesus. Gail, you want to help me with this a minute? So much. Okay, she's turning me around.
And it's a good color.
In the waiting, in the searching, and the healing, and the hurting, there was Jesus. And I remembered, I'm thinking, oh, Pam. Pam's favorite song. Yeah. So, Isaac, you want to put that on? Did he leave?
No.
Okay. I didn't know.
What was the name of the song?
There was Jesus.
Oh.
Remember? Okay.
You want your sweater back?
And just put it over there. Yeah, that's fine. So immediately when I looked at the shirt, I knew that it was going to be a message. And so I kept praying about it and praying about it, you know, when the Lord wanted to reveal that. And I just really felt this Sunday would be the one. You know, in the waiting, in the searching, and the healing, and the hurting, this is what we go through in life. And many times, you know, we're waiting on God, but is God waiting on us, or are we really waiting on Him? You know, and are we searching in the midst of that waiting? Are we searching for more of God? Are we searching for more and always wanting more and more and more of Him? And are, as we reach out to Him more and more, we become more and more healed physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And in that hurting, God touches us and frees us and helps us. And so I want to put this song on and remind you, this is what happens. But no matter what is going on in our life, there was Jesus. You know, I know that through all the things that I'm going through right now, I know Jesus is right with me. And that keeps me going. And that is what we have to look at. There was Jesus in the hurting, in the searching, in the healing, and the hurting. He was here, and He is here. So go ahead, Isaac.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stay, start to lose.
listen to it.
And all those lonely roads that I've traveled, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it again, but I can see it again. Well, there was Jesus.
Years ago, I was making my life about me. I was making it about all what I wanted to do, and it was all about me. And then my world came crashing down, and I had to learn, what am I going to do? And I had to learn to know God in a way that I'd never known him before, because all I knew was religion. I was raised in churches that they taught you all the do's and don'ts of Christianity. And I was not raised to have a personal relationship with the Lord. And I am so thankful that I went through that time, because the time that I'm in now is another deep valley. But I know what I've learned from before. And I know that I can go back to that again. And I have been. And I continue to. And you know, I was thinking about all the different people I've just talked to in this past week, not even being here, but I've talked to them in this past week, and they have told me that so-and-so died, so-and-so, another one, and then I talked to the lady up at Heritage, and she told me that her grandson just died. So there's just so much of, you know, death and loss in the midst of all of us. And I believe as we get older, we're going to see more and more of our friends and our families, you know, pass away. Are they going to end up in heaven? We pray that they do. And we don't give up on praying. We continue praying for them. And I was thinking about a story that had a great loss. And I know we all think of Job, don't we? Job is the one that went through so much loss. I mean, he not only lost, he had 10 children, and he lost all 10. I mean, I can't imagine losing one of my children, and he lost all 10. He lost his servants, he lost all his animals, his cattle, everything. And then his wife turned on him and said, "Curse God and die." Wow, what devastation. What would our response be if that would happen to us? Let's see what Job's response was. Job 1:20. Then Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head in mourning for the children, and he fell to the ground and worshiped God. He fell to the ground and worshiped God. He didn't blame God. He didn't shout at God. He worshiped him. He said, "Naked, without possessions, came I into this world from my mother's womb, and naked I will return home. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And through all of this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame God. God knows and understands our pain. And he knew and understood Job's pain. Our human tendency is to blame God for taking our loved ones. We can blame the doctors. You know, they didn't do a good enough job. I mean, I could go back on a lot of different things, but I won't do that because I know that it was God's timing. Do I understand it? Do I like it? No, I don't. But I know that God knows best, and I do not. Psalms 34:1 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise," get that? "His praise will continually be in my mouth." Continually. It doesn't say, okay, just when things are going really good, praise is in my mouth continually. No, it says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." All times. In sickness. In loss of loved ones, in loss of finances. I went through that when I went through the divorce, but God showed up and showed himself strong. And I guarantee you one thing, you go through things and you go through it with God. He will show up and he will show himself strong to you because that's what he did with me. Colossians 3:2 says, "Set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above." On the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which have only temporal value. How am I getting through this? I see Fred up there worshiping. I see him up there praising God. I see him up there not suffering, no pain, no nothing else is going on. He's just up there waiting for me to come. You know? He's worshiping God with the angels. And all his family, saints, you know, that are up there. And that's how we're going to keep going. Because let me tell you, every one of us are going to go through devastating loss. Every one of us. If we haven't already, we will. We will. It's all part of leaving the earth and going to heaven. And praise God, I am so thankful that my husband is in heaven. And some people cannot say that. So what does this mean to us? One day as I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. It's not what you see in the natural that builds your faith. It's what I speak into your spirit. If only you could see the love in the capacity that I have for you, all these other things would disappear in their importance. What do we focus on? His love. His love for us. In the hurting, in the searching, in the waiting, his love for us, because he will come Jesus is there. He is there. And he does come in hard situations. And he will put people in your path like he has mine that have blessed me over and over and over again. I can't even tell you the blessings that I write down every day in my notebook because I focus on the blessings. The blessings of how God is showing himself strong in my life. This past week, I found myself breaking down. I have days, you know, that I find myself breaking down. And I was talking to a person, and I said that my husband died. And the Lord said to me, don't say that anymore. He didn't die.
Right.
He didn't die. He is in heaven, and he is alive and well. And so I catch myself now. Because you know what would happen when I would say he died? I felt that. I felt that death. And then I wept. When I say Fred is up there in heaven and he is alive and well, then I rejoice. And I can feel that joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what's going to keep us going. It's not circumstances. Circumstances change all the time. We never know what's going to happen next. One day, you can have a situation here, and the next day, something else takes place. You just never know. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us. You catch that? Sin that so eagerly and cleverly wants to entangle us. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. We're in a race. We're in a race. Fred won his race. He's won. We're still down here. We're still running the race. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus. That's where our focus has to be, on Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of all of our faith. The one who brings our faith to maturity. That is who he is. Disregarding the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. Praise God, he completed his work. Jesus completed his work. Do we praise him for that?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's give him a praise, because he completed the work. Hallelujah. Yes, he did. Just consider and meditate on him. Do you meditate on him? Get up in the morning and just meditate on the Lord. Consider him. Look to him. The cloud of witnesses are the saints that have already gone before us. They're already up there. They're up there praising and worshiping God with the angels. And they're complete. And he is complete with them. They see everything. You know, so many times we're not talking about heaven. Pastor Harold had talked about heaven. We need to talk about heaven. You know, I heard a pastor say one time, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. You know? And that's pretty true, isn't it? That's pretty true. Because we're still connected to this world. We're still connected to this earth. So I want to say that I am so grateful that I learned many lessons when I went through that divorce. You know, I look back on all those years, and God was so good to me in the midst of that divorce. It was hard. It was the hardest thing that I'd ever gone through. And I know that at that point, you know, that's what brought me. I just kept hearing the enemy telling me that nobody loved me, you're not good enough, you know, nobody's ever going to love you. And I heard all those words, and that was straight from Satan and his cohorts. And I kept focusing and focusing and focusing on taking my life. But I don't look at it like that now. I know that God loves me, and I know that he's there for me. And I remember I was ministering in the correctional facility there in Lewistown, and this woman said to me that because I shared that, she was deciding how she was going to take her life there in jail. But because I said that, she turned her life over to the Lord. You don't know what's going to happen when you tell your testimony. Testimonies are powerful. And I know I've told my testimony so many different people, and it's made a difference. Because when you start thinking like that, I call it stinking thinking. And that's what it is. So these are some lessons that I want to share with you that I have learned. First of all, years ago, I heard God's audible voice, and it was the same year that my first husband left. My son was going through severe scoliosis. You probably met him last night. And it was a rough, rough time, hard time. And my uncle died the same year, and our dog had to be put to sleep. So it was all in the same year. And in October, I heard God's audible voice. I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, I heard this voice, and he said, "You must be able to hear my voice. I'm going to use you for healing my people." I did not understand it. You know, a lot of times God will speak to you, and you have no idea what he's talking about, because I was a mess. I was truly a mess, and I couldn't understand that. But I knew that he said to me, "You must be able to hear my voice." And I knew he's not going to talk audibly to me all the time. So I knew that I had to hear his voice. And so I learned to spend time with him. I learned that he was my personal God, that he was no longer a Bible God, but he was my personal Savior. He was my personal God who loved me, and I was learning how to trust him. Because you see, I didn't know that. I really didn't. I grew up in church. I taught Sunday school. I did all those things, but I did not know that he loved me so much. He loved me when I was down at my deepest. He was right there. And I'll tell you what, I think if you think about it, when the closest that God has been to you is when you're going in the deep valleys of life, you can feel him even more. And I believe that he just shows himself stronger to us in the midst of that. Isaiah 43:1 says, "He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." He knows each one of us by name. So I want to give these scriptures because I believe that when you're having hard times, you can go to these scriptures and you can take a hold of it and make it personal for yourself. I learned to recognize the voice of my shepherd and expect to hear from him daily. And it says, John 10:4 says, "When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never," and I catch that, "never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Praise God. Do you recognize his voice? You know, I have people telling me, I don't know that he speaks to me. Are you spending time with him? Are you listening to him? Are you listening? And are you expecting to hear from him? Expectation is a big thing. Are you expecting to hear from him? Or do you say, "Oh, no, he's not going to talk to me"? Well, then what kind of expectation are you in? You're either going to expect him or you're not. And then I learned that prayer begins with speaking to God and then listening to him. Do you wait? I remember a time that I would get up and I would just, you know, I'd give him all my list. This is my prayer list, you know, and that's fine. But I didn't wait for any answers. And then I started to get up, and all of a sudden I heard him say to me, wait, I have something to say. I'll never forget that. I have something to say. He has something to say to every one of us. And then Psalms 5:3 says, in the morning you hear my voice. Oh, Lord, in the morning I prepare a prayer, a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. Watch and wait. I expect him to speak to me. When I go before him, I tell him all the things that are going on as though he doesn't know it, you know. I know he knows it, but he wants me to give it over to him, all those burdens that I begin to carry. He wants me to hand them over. And Psalm 73 says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God and made him my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. So I learned that I needed to draw closer to him. And I needed to get into the Word. And I began to really trust him and take refuge in him. And so when I start that my flesh is kicking around and, you know, it's always going against the Spirit, because you're always having the flesh fight the Spirit. So when my flesh starts fighting, I got to go back to this. Go back to this. Praise God, he didn't let sin control me. He had mercy on me, and he showed me that he wasn't going to let me go. Even though Satan showed up with a truckload of promises, I still had the choice to say yes or no. I could let my emotions control me, or I could control them in Jesus' name. Because it's in Jesus' name that we control those emotions. We make that choice. When I said no to Satan's promises and yes to God's promises, he kept my feet from sleeping. Say, yes, slipping. They don't sleep. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught. Wow, Proverbs 3:26. I learned to cast my cares on him and give him the burdens. When I would give those worries and anxieties over to him, I was daily loaded with his benefits of love and peace. And then Psalm 68:19 says, praise be to the Lord and Savior who daily loads us with his benefits. And even the God of our salvation bears our burdens. Think of that. He bears our burdens. How many people are coming to him giving burdens? How in the world does he handle all that? But he does. He does, because he's God and we're not. And I began to learn that he was my burden bearer. He is our burden bearer. So many times we're carrying things inside and it causes us to have anger and resentment and bitterness. God doesn't want us to carry that. He wants us to hand it over to him, because when we hand it over to him, we choose to forgive and we choose to let it go. I can't tell you how many people I've been talking to that have unforgiveness. Just recently, they've been admitting it to me, that they're seeing it. Praise God, they're seeing it. You know, I see God intervening in my family and in Fred's family in situations that they never would talk about. But they're talking to me about it. And I praise God for that. We prayed for many years for all of them, over and over and over again. Never give up on your family. Never. And I learned that God was no longer a Bible God or a taskmaster. I used to see him as a demanding drill sergeant up there with a clipboard keeping a record of all my sins. That's how I grew up. God's going to get you for that. You're in trouble. Yeah, I wasn't told how much God loved me, because you see, they didn't know that God loved them that much either. But God loves us so much that we can't even imagine the love that he has for us. And I learned that I could have an intimate relationship with him. I love that. Intimacy. I could tell him everything. Everything. No matter what. If I'm upset, I tell him I'm upset. You know, we need to do that. And then he helped me to be able to confront. I don't like confrontations. I never have. But I will do it if I have to do it. But I will do it with his wisdom and his direction and his guidance. And I've had to do that. But it's him that's in me that gives me that wisdom and that direction. And that is so important to have that. That wisdom and direction. And then,
Jenny, your mic, is it on or is it need?
Yeah, but can you hear me? Okay. If you can hear me, fine. Okay. And so I learned that I could trust my master because he had the best for me. Do we trust him in every situation? Do we trust him? He's our master. Is he your master? That's the thing, you know? He fills our heart. I get really lonely because, you know, I'm not a person to be alone. That's hard for me, very hard for me. But I have to trust that God is there with me, that I am not really alone, that we have a song, you know, I am not alone. Well, what does that mean? I am not alone because God is here with me. And so I have to learn to trust that. You know, I haven't arrived, you know, taking one day at a time and trusting the Lord that he has something ahead. He has something better for me than what I could even think or imagine that is good for me. And no matter what pain we're going through, picture him holding your hand. He's holding our hands. And I feel that. You know, just like Pastor Harold just said, the Holy Spirit is here. He's holding our hand. He's here putting his arms around us, helping us in every situation. That's what he wants to do. That's our God. That's our Father who, I just have to tell you this. He told me last week, he said this to me. He said, let's have a father-daughter talk.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you never said that before. You know, I know you're my father and I'm your daughter, but you want a father-daughter talk. And he just wanted me to just listen to what he was saying. And he just poured his love on me over and over and over again. Father-daughter. Oh, my goodness. I used to, years ago, my dad was not a real loving father. He never told me that he loved me. And I had a girlfriend that she had a dad who would, she could get on his back and go piggyback, you know, take her all around, you know. And then he'd take me around, you know, and I really loved that, you know. And my dad never did that for me. And so one day I was in church. It was another church that Fred and I attended for 25 years. And we went, and I'm just worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, I saw myself as a little girl, because I've seen pictures of myself as a little girl. And I saw me on Jesus' back. He was taking me piggyback. And I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I was so blessed. God will do things with you that you cannot even imagine that he's going to do. And so what we're seeing on this earth right now, in this world, there's so much hatred, there's so much bitterness, there's so much anger, because they don't know him. They don't know him. So what do? We have to pray and ask the Lord, what do we do, Lord? How do we say? What do you want us to say to people? Now, I don't know about you, but I've been in the grocery store different times by myself. And every time I go into the grocery store, somebody would come to me, not even knowing me, but they'd start telling me their troubles. Their troubles. And I don't make a big deal of it in the grocery store or any kind of store. You know, I don't stand there and say, well, you know, praise God, you know, and then start really, you know, praying real loud. No, I don't do that. I act like I'm still talking to them. And I say, Jen, would you like me to pray? The other people around me are not going to know. They're not going to know. Because they're hurting. We got a hurting world. A very hurting world. And as we pray for divine appointments, what are we going to do? He's going to put them in front of us. I've chased people down the street after them. Down in South Carolina, we were in Chick-fil-A, and I was in the women's restroom, and all of a sudden I heard this lady, and she was really upset, and she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to somebody else. And I'm like, oh, goodness, you know, and I could feel her heart. You know, I felt really bad for her. And so she heads out, and I'm still in there, and the Lord said, go to her. And I'm like, well, where'd she go? I don't even know where she went. So here I am running down the parking lot trying to find this woman, and, you know, I found her. She was sitting in her car. And here I am. You know, she don't know me from Adam. And so I said, the Lord laid you on my heart. Is it okay if I sit with you? I opened up the door and sat with her in the car. You know? But God knew. I mean, he led me right to her. You know, I can't even tell you some things that I've done. Because God put roller skates on me and had me chase him down. That's what he does. So what are we learning? You know, God is changing this whole message. I didn't know I was going to say these different things. So what are we learning in the midst of hard challenges? You know, there's more to come. More to come. And so in the midst of this, now we have the hurting, the searching, the waiting. And there was who?
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, we just praise you and we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your love, your mercy, your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. You are so, so good. And we just lift these ones up to you, Father. We know that there are people right here that are in hard challenges and they need your wisdom and direction and guidance. And so we thank you, Father, that you are our rear guard to protect us, that the angel of the Lord is encamped around us, that you have pitched a tent and you are resting with us. And oh, Father God, thank you so much that your kingdom is inside of us, that we have your wisdom and direction and guidance because of what you have done. And so we thank you that you are within us most of all. And put out your hands, and I speak favor upon favor, blessings upon blessings, mercy upon mercy, and grace upon grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.